The pine and sandalwood-scented changing room shifted Hobart's mood, as it was meant to, and centered his attention on his body. Hobart stripped off his business clothes and dropped them into the hamper. His exercise clothes hung on racks. Today, for his fencing lesson, he chose a skin suit and the leather armor. His coach didn't approve of leather, but he was in no mood to pamper his coach. He glanced at himself in the mirror with satisfaction. Barrel chest, flat belly, well-muscled legs, erect posture, firm mouth. Not a slack, flabby fiber in him, mind or body. A man fit to lead. In the exercise room itself, he warmed up with the standard sets, then stretched. As he was twisting himself into a pretzel, trying not to look at himself, he hated these stretches, which were at best undignified, the door opened and the Swordmaster came in. His own coach would not have dared. Hobart had made it clear that he needed no supervision in warm-up. But the Swordmasters were an old, proud breed, and he put up with their arrogance for the sake of their skill. Bunny had never taken up fencing, and had resolutely refused to have a Swordmaster at his estate, even when most families did.
Lord Consuline, your form needs improvement.
Hobart was proud that he was able to conquer a flash of anger.
Instruct me.
The Swordmaster bent and twisted his own body into the stretch and held it, looking at Hobart from under his arm.
You are not keeping the knee straight, and you are bending the spine too much in the thoracic span, and not enough in the lumbar.
He unwound, not red in the face or breathless.
Try again.
Hobart twisted and tangled himself into the required knot. He knew what it was for, but he disliked it, and knew he had been skimping on it for months. The Swordmaster's hands steadied him, and then pushed and pulled. Hobart felt a pop in his spine, and the sudden ease of a cramp he had not realized he had.
Like that. You really should let Oris spot you in this for several months.
Hobart untwisted carefully.
I'll consider it.
Good. If you are ready.
The Swordmaster nodded toward the hall. Hobart turned to the Swordmaster as they passed through the archway.
Is it true that all Swordmasters must have killed with the blade?
It is a tradition.
Hobart wanted to know what it felt like, but could think of no polite way to ask. And he wondered which blade. The Swordmasters taught the use of all blades, had mastered all styles. Oris held out practice masks, transparent reinforced ceram with touch signaling circuitry embedded, and the warm-up blades. Hobart glanced at Oris, wondering what he'd told Master Yagen. He suspected Oris of reporting on more than his fencing skill. He did, after all, have to take the occasional call during a lesson, and Oris might have overheard scraps of conversation. But nothing important, he thought. Nothing that would interest a Swordmaster, anyway. Masked and gloved, with blade in hand, he faced Master Yagen on the strip. The salute, old-fashioned, formal, an utter waste of time, and yet it set the emotional tone for what followed. The initial touches, boring, when all Hobart wanted was to get this session out of the way so he could return to his plotting. Master Yagen's tip smacked into his face shield, which flared red. For an instant, Hobart could not speak for anger.
Touch!
Your mind wandered, Lord Consuline.
Behind the arc of gleaming protection, Master Iagan's expression was unreadable. Quiet, a little stern, but neither anger nor apprehension.
My apologies.
This was, after all, one of the reasons he had stayed with fencing. The need to concentrate utterly on what he was doing. But Oris never struck him so early in a session. Still, the Swordmaster was who he was, and probably thought fencing was the most important thing in the universe. Hobart collected these scattered thoughts, locked them away, and concentrated on Master Iagen's blade. Master Iagen's last riposte was so powerful it blew through Hobart's parry and punched him lightly in the chest.
Touch.
He was not expected to defeat a Swordmaster, only to show that he had been working. He had indeed, and his next attack actually achieved a touch. His spirit soared. He had never made a touch on the Swordmaster from Seven before. All that work with weights must have done it. 20 touches, 16 to the swordmaster and 4 to him, then a break to stretch out again before taking up the heavier blades.
Your right forearm is definitely stronger, Lord Consuline.
Yeah, Auris has me doing weight work.
Good, but I noticed that your left arm is still substantially weaker. There should be no more than 5% difference in strength, unless someone has suffered an injury. Have you?
It's stronger than last year.
Indeed it is. But the imbalance affects more than your offhand fencing, my lord. It also affects the set of your spine and your gait. You need to balance them, just as you balance work and play.
I have no time for play, Swordmaster. Surely you have heard of the terrible crisis that faces us? Lord Thornbuckle was killed by terrorists.
Yes, of course. But that makes my point. You must be balanced to withstand such blows. It is the failure of balance in your society which makes it vulnerable. The undisciplined stagger when the blow falls.
I do not intend to stagger and fall.
Hobart caught a glimpse of himself in the mirrors that lined the hall, flushed and truculent. Dangerous.
Nor will you, my lord, I'm sure. Your work here, the discipline needed to achieve the level you've achieved, sustains you, along with your native talents. But as each movement balances contraction of one muscle group with extension of another, so the steadfast must balance strain and relaxation.
I find relaxation in this.
With a wave, Hobart included the entire exercise suite.
That is good. You have a warrior's heart, which finds ease in growing stronger.
Praise of a sort. He would take it. A warrior's heart he knew he had, and he could feel himself growing stronger. When the lesson ended, Hobart invited Master Eoghan to dinner at the family table, but the swordmaster declined.
With your permission, my lord, I will walk in your gardens. I must take ship tomorrow, and I am not often able to stretch my legs in such beauty.
Hobart anticipated that request, although he still did not understand Master Eoghan's fascination with the garden. Discreet surveillance had revealed that the man did not tumble a maid behind the hedges or use any sort of communications device to contact a confederate. He always did what he asked permission to do, strolled along the pebbled garden paths, stopping now and then to sniff a flower. He pretended to fence with the topiary knight, and if one of the gardener's cats appeared, he would pick it up and stroke it. At the far end of the garden, he always paused to watch the black-finned fish in the lily pond. Not what Hobart had expected of a swordmaster, but they were known to have strange habits.
Is the swordmaster still here?
Hobart gave Delphine a look that shut her up instantly.
He's here, but he's leaving tomorrow. Why?
I just wanted to meet him.
You have no reason to meet him. You do not take fencing seriously.
Delphine could strike a pretty pose with foil in hand, and in fencing whites, and in the garden in front of the rose hedge, looked quite exciting that way. But her footwork was execrable, and she had never shown any determination in learning better. He would not have been too pleased if she had, but her failure to oppose him, even on this, was another proof of her weakness. Luckily, he had been able to choose other gene lines for his sons. Delphine picked at her shellfish.
I called Miranda today, but her private secretary wouldn't put me through. I was able to make an appointment for tomorrow when she's taking condolence calls.
A quick flash of anger that a secretary prevented his wife, Lady Consuline, from contacting Miranda Thornbuckle, flared and died.
That's good.
It wasn't important, after all. Miranda would find out soon enough that what power she had had through Bunny was gone, water into sand.
Hobart, are you in danger?
Hobart smiled at her, surprised and pleased by her solicitude.
Me? No, my dear. Bunny made enemies I have not made.
He had others, but none that would dare have him killed.
And besides, I am more careful. We have excellent security. Do not worry about me or about yourself and the children.
It's all so terrible. Pirates capturing Bronn and then the terrorists.
It won't happen again. I'll see to that.
But Hobart, how? You aren't...
If she says I'm not important, I'll kill her right here.
He felt himself stiffening and saw in her face the reaction to his expression. Her mouth snapped shut, tears filled her eyes, and she looked down at her plate.
I know it's hard for you to believe, but I am not a non-entity.
Oh, Hobart, I didn't say that. I didn't mean...
And I can and will keep you safe, and others. It's my duty, and I have never shirked my duty.
Of course not.
Up came her napkin to dab at the tears.
We have had laxity in high places. With all due respect for Lord Thornbuckle, and I have known Bunny all my life, he simply did not have the moral fiber to do what was necessary. I will not make that mistake. When I am first speaker, and I shall be Delphine in a matter of days, things will be handled very differently. None of his weak deference to the entrenched bureaucracy, which is always afraid to make changes, lest it mean the loss of influence. I will make the decisions, and I will save the realm.
He looked up to find her staring at him, eyes still wide. He pointed his knife at her.
And you, my dear, will say nothing of this to anyone. I have no doubt that the Grand Council will be glad to elect someone who has a clear vision of what should be done, but I don't want them confused by your version of events first. Is that clear?
Yes, Hobart.
You will say nothing to Miranda tomorrow.
No, Hobart.
And you will quit messing about with that crab and eat properly.
Yes, Hobart.
That's better.
If she would just confine herself to doing what he told her and not argue, she would be an exemplary wife. Hobart could imagine her in the palace, greeting those he invited to the necessary social events. Delphine was good at social events. Decorative, tactful, soft-voiced. Like Miranda, Bunny's widow in that respect. But his wife. His tool.